In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today I want to start by asking you three questions that are deeply intertwined. What gives you the greatest joy in life? What creates for you the deepest sense of purpose? And when do you feel most alive? Most truly the person you feel God created you to be? Take a moment and think about your answers to those. What gives you the greatest joy in life? What creates for you the deepest sense of purpose? And when do you feel most alive? Most truly the person you believe God created you to be. Now, I want you to hold on to those answers for a few moments because we're going to be getting back to them later on. In our gospel reading for today, we pick up just after Jesus asks his disciples who people think he is. And up to this point, Jesus has been talking to only his disciples. He not only wanted to know what they have been hearing about him, but perhaps even more importantly, after being with him all this time, his closest friends and disciples, he wants to know if they know who he is. Then after they share all the guesses that people have been making, Peter makes his big proclamation saying that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. And even though he gets the answer right, he misses the bigger point of what that means. This is where our story today picks up. Jesus starts to explain what it means to be the Son of Man and what it means to make the decision to be his follower. After Jesus and Peter have their heated exchange on what's in Jesus's future, Jesus then calls the crowd of people who must have been not far behind because they're not very far away to come closer and listen up. Jesus must have felt it was time to move the crowd from experiencing what Jesus can do for them, healing, driving out demons, raising their dead, feeding thousands, to understanding what they can do for one another. Because he then moves from not only what being the Messiah means for him, but what it means to decide to keep following him, stating plain and simple that those who wish to follow him must deny themselves and take up their cross. Now, I can't even imagine what these words sounded like to those folks who heard Jesus speak them. People who saw firsthand what it meant to die on a cross, as it was one of Rome's preferred ways of dealing with criminals. They must have been terrified, thinking that Jesus was asking them to stand up to the Romans in some way and be ready to be crucified. I think for many of us, these words today are just sort of glossed over. Most of us can't really get our heads around what exactly Jesus is asking of us. We don't know anything about the realities of death on the cross other than the Good Friday story of Jesus dying on one. We don't live the threat of that reality in our everyday life. I think because of this, we just kind of ignore it. Or maybe when something is a constant source of frustration or difficulty, in our lives, we think that we've all heard this phrase before, this is our cross to bear. But I don't think that that's either of those things is what Jesus is talking about at all. I don't think he was talking about our need to expect to die a violent death in order to be a follower of Christ. I think instead he's suggesting to us today that the life that has been packaged and sold to us isn't real life. Those things we are told will fulfill us and make us happy in this world, having stuff, looking a certain way, living a particular lifestyle, having the latest and greatest. He's saying we need to die to those illusions and to be born into the abundant life that God wants for us. We tend to think that life is something that you have to go out and get or earn or buy or win. But it turns out that life is like love. It can't be won or earned or bought, only given away. And the more you give it away, the more you have. The Living Translation Bible interprets this passage in this way. If any of you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the new good news, you will save it. Turn from your selfish ways. Turning away from self and towards others, and be willing perhaps to suffer for this way of life. I think that's what Jesus is asking us to do, because that is what gives us life. As first-time parents experience profoundly, or anyone who has selflessly cared for a loved one knows, only when you love others do you most understand what love really is. And that kind of love is not without pain. And likewise, only when you give away your life for the sake of others do you really discover it. Somehow, in thinking about how to fulfill others' needs, your own deepest needs are met. This is one of the mysteries of life, and it's one of the keys to the kingdom of God. One of my Lenten devotions this year is reading and meditating using a book called Celtic Lent by David Cole. In it, he tells about the lives of some of the Celtic saints who learned what it meant to give up their lives for the sake of Jesus, only to find life. Hilda, who was a princess, who gave up a life of privilege and standing to create a monastic center in Whitby. Iltyd was a commander of soldiers who, upon meeting a hermit monk whom his soldiers had been abusing, was converted to Christianity when he was impressed by the way that this monk responded to the abuse these soldiers heaped upon him. He left the military and his cushy life, in a way, even though military doesn't sound like one, and went to live with this hermit monk to learn that kind of faith, and then began to teach others, devoted his life to that. And one of his most famous students was Saint David of Wales. Cuthbert was born of noble birth and was a Christian who had a vision of Saint Aidan's body going up to heaven at the time of Aidan's death and felt a call to leave all and join a monastery. He traveled to Melrose on a horse with a servant, and upon reaching the door of the monastery, gave everything to the servant as a symbol of leaving his life of privilege behind to serve as a monk. Each leaving lives of wealth, comfort, and privilege to live in poverty and service. each finding full, rich, and impactful lives in service to others. Now, we are not all called to give up everything and join or create monasteries, but we are all called to hear Jesus's message as it applies to our own life. Jesus's message was, from the moment it was spoken and still is, absolutely and totally countercultural, simply because we live in a world of quid pro quo and scarcity, where we are constantly told there is never enough, and the only thing you can count on are the things you own. And if we need more proof of this, just think back to a year ago, to the start of the pandemic. The empty store shelves, the hoarding of things, when people thought there was not going to be enough. Jesus challenges all of that by telling us the only things we can hold on to are the things we give away, like love and mercy and kindness and compassion, which is why this story is so important, and as complicated as we want to make it, is really quite simple. And it brings me back to those three questions. So, what did you say gives you the greatest joy in life? What creates for you the deepest sense of purpose? And when do you feel most alive, most true to the person you believe God created you to be? My guess is that the answer or answers to these questions wasn't something you bought or even earned, but rather they are rooted in relationship or in acts of service, and even in acts of what the world might call sacrifice, meaning when you are caring or cared for another. As scary as Jesus's words might sound, self-denial and cross-bearing are not about being less happy, but about discovering the real and abundant life that Jesus promises. A kind of life that our culture can hardly imagine. A kind of life that comes in and through sacrificial love and service to another. Amen.